Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
He is the breakthrough story of the playoffs. He's C.J. Anderson. He's kind enough to spend a couple moments with us here on stage live for Fox Sports Radio, of course, of the L.A. Rams. How are you?
I'm good. I'm real good.
Yeah. Okay, so I want to go back. 2015, you're with the Broncos. You won the Super Bowl. And that's a crazy year for people who don't remember, which is Peyton was kind of shot, right? The defense was unbelievable the second half of the year. Then Peyton starts at the end of the season. And then you guys win it with special teams, a little bit of running game, and your defense was obscene. What was that experience, that Super Bowl experience for you?
It was amazing, you know, and that was my second one. You know, I remember a lot about 48, the one we lost, then the more we won. But the experience for 50.
I was trying to not do the negative memory thing because that one got – it was a first play that one
got. Yeah, it got out of hand real quick. But I think the one we won, the most thing that you remember, there's nothing more exciting than winning for guys like DeMarcus Ware. You know, don't get me wrong. I love Peyton to death. That is my best friend. That's my dude. But winning for guys like DeMarcus Ware, winning for guys like Wade, who's put so much into it, you know, that's kind of like what I see now, like Andrew Whitworth and Roger Stafford and John Sullivan. I mean, they've been in the league for a very long time and never been a chance to be in this position. So that's kind of how I see it now. And, you know, it'll be nothing better than a win for them.
What about, though, the benefit for the Patriots of this is their ninth? Most of these guys played in it last year as opposed to you guys. As you know, that first experience, sometimes it hits you, you know, like a brick wall. How much does the experience help a team like the Patriots, having played in this game?
I mean, it helps. I mean, I'm sitting here on Tuesday on the radio row the week we played the game because, I you know, it's my third time playing it, and I know how to lock in and get ready to go and prepare when it's time to prepare. And we use that week before to prepare. And I think experience do help. But I also think what it is at the end of the day, when the ball is put on the 35-yard line and it's kicked off, it's football. And I think our team knows that. They understand that. And, you know, as I've told them, what you did week one all the way to what you're doing now, it's the same formula of winning football because that's what it is. That's why you got here. So if you take that formula and do it at a high level.
But that's not the formula, to be honest with you, because the formula was Todd Gurley, Todd Gurley, Todd Gurley.
And it's now still Todd Gurley.
Now it's Todd Gurley and, hey, let's hit C.J. Anderson. This has been crazy. Why didn't what you're doing in L.A. with a two-headed monster, why didn't that work in Carolina with you and Christian McCaffrey?
That is a question for the Panthers. I mean, when I got in and I signed, that was the goal. And the first three games of the season, well, four games after the bye week, the first month of the season, we were complimenting and going back and forth. And I had a touchdown. He had three touchdowns at the time, and we were complimenting back and forth. And then next you know, he just emerged. I mean, he became a special player where you don't want to take him off the field because he catches the ball well out of the backfield. There are so many different dynamic things that you can do with him, and I understood that. And, you know, so many ways I was helping him when I wasn't playing to try to get him to the player where he is today and just give him my little expertise. And snub from the Pro Bowl this year, but shit, had a hell of a year.
Yeah, I mean, he had a great year. You have the Never Say Die Foundation. That's actually your foundation. Did you have that before you go to Oakland for 6 days, and then you go with the Rams?
Yeah, Dreams Never Die, it's been out since 2016, and, you know, we just provide inner-city youth with resources outside of entertainment and athletics. And, you know, the partnerships with Harvard and Google and different tech companies that I have is great. And, you know, kind of a testament to what happened to me in 2018. You know, I grew up an inner-city kid, didn't know my father, you know, and I went through a bunch of hardships to get where I was today, and it's no different than being released from Denver, Carolina, and Oakland to put me in a position, never giving up on what I feel is my dream and what I believe in, and trying to play the game the right way and love it the right way, and it worked out.
All right, I got to ask you a kind of a personal question. How much did you weigh first day of the season with Carolina?
227.
How much are you today?
235.
why it is something that people talk about. Like, have you gained that much weight, or does 7 pounds look thicker on your body?
I don't know if it's a gain. The body fat percentage definitely went up, like 8-9% body fat, which, you know, that's gonna make it look different. I mean, I'm still running the same I was running when I was in Denver and Carolina. That's how I feel, and that's all that matters to me. I can care less what I look like. You know, at the end of the day, you don't get paid on what you look like. You get paid for first downs and touchdowns, and that's what I'm trying to do.
All right, last thing before I let you go. What would it mean to win the Super Bowl again? And look, winning it means anything, but considering your journey this year.
The biggest thing that I would take, you know, and I said this on opening night last night, my niece and my nephew for the first two was not old enough to remember. And when you see, like, the Drew Brees picture with his – and, I got a daughter coming in April, but I don't have kids. They're like my my kids. But you see Tom Brady and you know, the Super Bowls he run and celebrating with his kids, and Peyton Manning, you know, with Miles. And his daughter, can't get her name right now, but you see that from Super Bowl 50, and there'll be nothing better than celebrating, running around like a little kid with my niece and my nephew.
I know you have to run. I said it was the last one. I lied. One more. When you scored in L.A. in the playoffs, I saw Gurley going crazy, right? And then, you know, last week you kind of – or two, a week and a half ago, whatever, you kind of stole the show. Is that real? Is that really – like, is he really as supportive of your success as he
– The first thing he said when I walked in was, I liked you in Denver. You can play. I mean, he's I've been a Pro Bowler in this league, and I've been a top 10 rusher in this league, and he respects my game, and I think that's where me and him comes great, because I respect his game and what he does well. And you know, he's just genuinely happy. I mean, God has blessed both of us with many things, and I don't
is he healthy?
All the way healthy. He's all the way healthy. And what people don't understand is Todd Gurley is not insecure of his talent. Todd Gurley talent is going to be top talent every time Todd Gurley steps on the football field. So, you know, he has no shame and no wave of, you know, of someone else coming in and helping him trying to win a championship.
It's the Dreams Never Die Foundation. Go to dndfoundation22.org for more information, or follow CJ on social media at CJAndersonRB9. Again, the foundation has its own Twitter handle, DND Foundation 22. There's never been a better correlation between foundation and production and one season than the Dreams Never Die. Guy starts out in Carolina, goes through Oakland and that mess for less than a week, and ends up in L.A., and now he's got a chance to win the Super Bowl again. CJ, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
All right, CJ Anderson joining us here on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Here's what I want to do, okay? I want to get to the Anthony Davis and the potential trade to the L.A. Rams, and why I think you don't move heaven and earth, right? And then we'll move back on here to football. Here's the thing. Sports has evolved and changed. It just has, and there's a connective tissue between all of them. I remember I worked at CBS, which is, if you're looking at our beautiful set, which is remarkable. I mean, thanks to the folks at Amazon Fire TV for providing us with this set. It's spectacular. And I know that you're driving your car or you're listening to us on any device. You're like, I don't care about your set. My point is, when you go to a place like this, you want to have a cool set so you feel like everybody is fully invested in your show. And ours has been the best in the last 2 years since I've been here. Anyway, I used to work at CBS. And Phil Simms was incredibly kind to me. And one of the things that Phil said to me, which I know to be true, and I think most athletes know to be true, but he said it to me, and for Phil, who at the time was calling Super Bowls for CBS, he's like, look, I love coming on your show because you know football, and you don't necessarily know football as well as I do, not having played it, but you know it because if you've competed at a high level, if you've coached at a high level, there are things you don't know, but there are things that you know that average guys who have just been members of the media or civilian fans, they'll never know. And so, but this part I think you can understand. The connective tissue in competing and athleticism, you might not know if you didn't compete at a high level. But what's made the Yankees great? What's made the Cubs great? What's made the Astros great? What's even made the Red Sox great? Look, have all these baseball teams gone out and spent a bunch of money? Sure. But you know what else they have? They have homegrown talent on rookie contracts, on cheaper deals. You have to have a blend of the two. The discussion in baseball is over Bryce Harper and Manny Machado, and this relates to, like, Albert Pujols has never won a World Series. He never won a, don't think he's won a playoff series since he's been a member of the Angels. And though that supposedly bought credibility and maybe financially makes you dollars in terms of your local TV and radio ad revenue, does it bring you a championship which will make you the most money and bring you the most respect as a franchise? The answer is no. I mean, the story in baseball, Giancarlo Stanton, right? That didn't work. And Alex Rodriguez, when he's in Texas, having that one or two highly paid stars rarely, doesn't necessarily never, rarely works. What's allowed the San Antonio Spurs, okay, is their star to be successful for 15 years. Their stars didn't take top dollar, and they had lesser paid kind of homegrown guys that made up their last couple starters and their bench. It's the same thing that's helped the Golden State Warriors early on. Yeah, they had Steph, but he wasn't under a big contract. And because he wasn't under a big contract, it allowed them to reach out and get Kevin Durant. And that went with Draymond Green, who wasn't under a huge contract. And they have Klay Thompson, who's not under a supermax contract. And what's hurt them, or what will hurt them in the future and stop their run, is being front-loaded. The Rams are an interesting story because the Rams aren't built for long-term sustained success. They're just not. They went out and traded for Marcus Peters and acquired Aqib Talib, and they went and got Ndamukong Suh. And, yeah, they're going to have Todd Gurley for a long time, but they have to have a completely new defensive backfield next year. They have some of these contracts. They're going to have to figure out their defense. They paid Aaron Donald. Eventually, you're robbing Peter. You know, if you're going on the cheap, you're robbing Peter to pay Paul. But they're not. They're front-loaded. And the reason the Patriots is spread money around. Spreading money around is, in all sports, the way it works. When you're top-heavy, you're like, remember Morgana, the kissing bandit? You're like top. That's how bad teams are built. And I look at LeBron James' team. The reason it wasn't sustainable in Cleveland wasn't because it was Cleveland. It wasn't. It's not sustainable to have one or two guys making that much money and then filling in the holes. You have a chance at longer-term success when you have young guys or guys going into their second contracts at reasonable deals, and you do have a couple of stars. That's what the Celtics have. That's what the Raptors have. That's what the Warriors had. And that's what the Lakers have right now. They have a chance. They have a chance to rebuild this thing the right way. And if they trade Kuzma and Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram and Zubac, all for Anthony Davis, which I don't believe is what the actual going rate, that would be massively overpaying. That would be paying above sticker, which nobody even pays sticker anymore for a car. I believe that'd be a top-heavy team that, though it could be successful in the short term, that's not long-term sustained success. LeBron James is 34. He's not getting younger. And Anthony Davis has shown he doesn't have the ability to carry a team on his own. No one does, but even Anthony Davis, as great as we all know, he has to have other guys. And the Lakers have other guys. They just shouldn't simply trade all of them away. That is the connective tissue in sports.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Super Bowl tickets are apparently reselling for, on average, $5,250. Cheapest ticket available is about $3,800. If you go to SeatGeek.com and you enter SB300 for $300 off Super Bowl tickets, it sounds like a pretty good deal. Again, considering the market and a guy who knows about what it's like to prepare for and win a Super Bowl and deal with as a head coach. Hey, coach, can I get some tickets? Hey, coach, can I get some tickets? Is the NFL Network, Brian Billick, who joins us. How much of that distracts a team?
Yeah, everybody talks about the advantage that the Patriots have, and that is one of them. As a coach, I don't know that you people can appreciate. Once the game kicks off, it's like any of the game you've played. The outcome and the repercussions are obviously 100-fold, but it's my biggest concern was from the minute after we had won the championship game, in our case in Oakland, to kickoff of the Super Bowl, how we were going to handle that 2 weeks. Obviously, the Patriots, which we ought to call this the New England Patriot Invitational, they're here so much, they obviously got it down, but they know. They know exactly the pacing. Once you get here, practice, the distractions, how to hold that at arm's length, what the pacing of practice should be, the excruciating long Saturday, the pregame, all of that stuff. the Rams have to overcome that. And they've got guys on the staff that have been in Super Bowls and a couple players, I think, that can draw. They got to lean on them heavily to get the other players to buy in, to understand, look, don't do this. For us, and just to answer what you're talking about specifically, the first 3 days, and the administrative staff did a brilliant job, was let's get it all out of the way.
Right.
Travel, tickets, cars, hotels. We had it all. I mean, we had a concierge basically for every player. Get it all out of the way, because once we get past Wednesday, the week before, it's got to be all about football. And I don't want to hear about tickets. I don't want to see anybody distracted, because now it's about preparing for the game.
Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. That's the voice of Brian Billick. Remind me, okay, what I remember about your Ravens teams was the downfall was twofold, because you guys were arguably since the 85 Bears, mm-hmm. the best defense we'd seen, was twofold. One, you had salary cap issues, right? And so you had to part ways with some really, really talented people because you were so good that the best players had to get paid. And then two, Kyle Bowler didn't become what you thought you were going to become. I look at this Rams team and I think Goff seems to be better, obviously, than Bowler. Can't tell whether he seems to be better, obviously, than Bowler. But they might be headed for that same, like, it's going to be a different roster next year, isn't
it? And that's the challenge. That's the challenge any teams have. You know, when you look on the other side of the field with the Patriots, part of the key is, and success breeds success. You know, it's always easier to earn the second million than the first million.
But it doesn't in the NFL, right? Half the teams don't make the playoffs. I want to get to that in a second.
Correct. What the Patriots have been able to do is create a system and a structure with the authority of a Bill Belichick, is that they've wrapped themselves around situational role players. They don't have to have the big-name stars, and if it gets too expensive, we'll cut ways with them. And everybody would like to build it that way, but that's hard to do. You're exactly right. That's why half the playoff field changes every year, because the cap. We, in our Super Bowl year, we extended ourselves the next year thinking we could duplicate.
Yep.
Hell, we had a lot of older players.
Yep.
The Rod Woodson, Shannon Sharps, Rob Burnett's, across the board.
Deion, right?
He came in the next year, 2 years. So we extended ourselves, which means, you know, at some point you got to even up the credit card. And every time we extended ourselves to go from the Super Bowl team to the next year, Ozzie would come in and go, now, you know what this means for the next year.
Right.
Because we're going to be, and we ended up being the youngest team ever in the NFL. The next year had 19 rookies on that team because we had to have the cap purge.
Brian Billick joining us in the Doug Gottlieb Show. Other thing I remember about your career was, when you came from Minnesota to get the head coaching job, people were blown away by your level of preparedness and understanding the roster, knowing exactly what you want to do when you hit the ground running in Baltimore. And this was coming off of a devastating loss in the NFC Championship game. We look at so many of these new hires that are made, guys with no head coaching experience, but they're offensive gurus. How well prepared do you think these guys are for what it takes to run a franchise?
Yeah, everybody's looking for the next Sean McVay.
Right.
It's become a general manager's league. It's a little like the NBA now. And that's not a good thing or bad thing. It just is. The cap, the authority, the person, it's all general manager. They're all looking for that guy. Look, we're going to lock you in the office, feed you your meal under the door, come out with these genius game plans. We'll put your staff together for you. And I don't say that critically. It is what it is. I will tell you this as someone who's lived it. You work your entire life, professional life, wanting to become a head coach. You prepare yourself, you know, whatever side of the ball. You develop an expertise, all the structures, the coaches, everything. You sit, you know, I'm able to interview, express my theme, a vision for the team. You get the job, and you sit in that, for me, you sit in that desk the very first day, and you realize, holy mackerel, I don't have a clue of what I'm doing. It's on-the-job training. You have no concept, truly, of what the comprehensive job is. Now, you learn very quickly, and you surround yourself with good people, like Sean McVay getting away.
Wade Phillips.
So that balance is very, very important. But at the end of the day, it is the on-the-job training that you have to learn that aspect of it.
Why hasn't anybody been able to truly copy what the Patriots have done, right? Like in any of these other, any other business, somebody invents it, somebody's first in, and look, they had the benefit of being first in, but you copy it.
Yeah.
How come no one's been able to copy the structure of how they do it? And more than anything, the versatility of the ability to change game plans week to week. Whereas, you know, like I talked to the Chargers, like, hey, why didn't you guys play man against the Patriots? They're like, we're terrible in man. We're not a good man team. I was like, yeah, but the zone clearly
wasn't working.
Yeah, the other thing wasn't working. Like, that's not who we are. The Patriots seem to be the only ones, and I know they're not, but only one, why can't anybody copy
this,
that?
This sounds, and I hate when people try to detach Brady and Belichick, and would they be good as without the other? It doesn't matter. They've been together for brilliantly for 18 years. So this is not in any way a criticism. When you can start with Tom Brady,
yep.
You talk about the single difference. One, you begin with that. Secondly, like I said earlier, it's a lot easier to make the second million than it is the first million. A lot easier to make the next million after that than the first two. Once you can get that integrated, you give Bill great credit for structuring this thing, role-specific players that, to avoid the cap purge, the difficulties, will let the high-priced player go when he earns himself up to that, will fill in. You know, this guy can't play 60 snaps and win, but he can play 20 and give us a specific role in that category. They do a brilliant job with that. Now, you can duplicate that. You can try, but you better start with the presence of quarterback that Tom Brady is, and you better win. Because otherwise, you don't have but a second or third year to get this thing going.
Right.
That's
the big thing is you also need the organizational support.
Correct.
Right? And he had Parcells that preceded him who, you know, loaded up the roster with, you know, who's...
But let's also remember, I just did a station in Baltimore, or in Boston, that went back to that 2001 season. Let's remember, Belichick was on the way out.
Yeah.
It was, I forget who it was. It wasn't Ty Law, but he let a couple players go, being criticized for it. They had not won. Bledsoe, and all of a sudden now... There's the change. We're going with the young guy.
Yeah.
Now, that could have gone either way, but it didn't, and then it perpetuated and went on from there. So that shows you the tenuousness of this whole thing. But once it got it going and they bought in and you know, you also have to remember Bill Belichick has spent his entire professional life in the NFL. Never coached college ball, has always been in the NFL. That's an incredible amount of institutional knowledge that he brings to that position.
Last thing, and I know you're here to promote SeatGeek.com, but you're wearing the shirt for X-Tech shoulder pads. This is the honest question for you.
Yeah.
What's the safe age, in your mind, to let a kid start playing tackle football?
Yeah, interesting. I've got grandsons.
Yep.
And
I have a son, that's why I'm asking you.
This is very real. Later is better. The later, the better. Now, some kids...
What's later?
You know what? I would be hesitant to put them in pads before the ninth grade. I really would.
My only question is, do you want the first time a kid gets hit to be... Like, there is something to understanding how to get hit.
Sure.
Because you can only teach them so much. They got to do it, right?
Two things I would say. One, that the fundamentals of that can be taught in a lot of sports that lead up to the abilities to then when that goes in. I understand what you're saying, that as young age you want to deal with, to take a hit. I'm okay. I'm not going to die. My biggest concern is if you're going to do it before that.
Coaching.
You better make sure you got a good coach that's teaching it the right way with the right priorities. Also, I'd be concerned about burnout too early.
Yep.
That you're exposed to it for too long.
Completely real. Completely real in other sports as well. You know, like you want your kid, my kid's really good at baseball. And you play him on a travel baseball team, his regular baseball team. Like, hey, who wouldn't want to play baseball all the time? And they're like, man, I don't know. I just need a break from it.
Tell you this, because I do a lot of corporate speaking. I'm asked this virtually every time. And in the airports when I'm coming and going. Because the game's under a little bit of attack. Because of concussion protocol and whatever. It's a great game. I love the game. But they say, okay, do you want your grandsons to play football? And my pat answer has been, no, I don't. And I don't want them to drive. Don't want them to ski. Don't want them to date. I don't want them to cross the street.
That's great.
I don't want them to do anything that they could potentially get hurt. But if their passion follows that, I'm going to make sure that they're coached properly. And in this instance, I'm going to make sure they have X-Tech pads.
All right. Our thanks to X-Tech pads and SeatGeek.com. More than anything, to you, Coach Billick, we appreciate you.
Glad to do it. Very good.
All right. That's Brian Billick, who you can check out on the NFL Network.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.